Earlier this afternoon, we had a session in this hall, and I was speaking about homes and families. We followed Luke's narrative, and we noticed that our Lord Jesus, as he walked through this world, whilst he was ministering the wonderful truths of God and making the Father known there in Palestine those years ago, how he went straight through. He turned neither to the right nor to the left. And as he went straight through doing the will of God, it seemed as if he was walking along a street that was going right home to the Father's heart. Now along that street, there were various homes that he visited. And tonight, I thought, instead of going right down the street, we would just stop in one home and see what happened when Jesus came in. Now we're very blessed because this particular visit to this particular home, in actual fact, is recorded three times in the Gospels. And I'm referring to Peter's home. Now, of course, Peter is a very interesting character to us, one of the leading apostles. And when we read about somebody who's well known, it's interesting to find out a little bit about their home life and their background. Of course, it's not always possible to go into a person's house. But I think we can knock on his door tonight and cross the threshold and be a witness through the Word of God as to what happened in this home when Jesus came in. And so I want us to turn now to Matthew chapter 8, first of all, and we're going to read from verse 14. Just now, I'm staying in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Howell, who were missionaries in Zaire some years ago, and it's a very interesting house. You know, it's situated, as some of you may know, on a bend in the road. Well, I think the night before I arrived, a car failed to take the bend and hit the tree. And I think it was the night after I arrived, or perhaps the very night that I did arrive, another car hit the same tree, if I remember rightly. Well, accidents do happen. And I'm sure when accidents happen, the people involved in them sometimes simply don't know what's happened. I think that was the case one of those evenings. But sometimes there are witnesses. And if there's going to be a court case, the witnesses are called. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, says the Bible, let everything be established. Well, regarding what happened this day in Peter's house when Jesus came in, we have three witnesses. We have three stories, three narratives that tell us what happened. And I want you, as we read them, to piece them together, to notice the different points and the little bits of information that are characteristic of each record, so that we get a complete picture of all that occurred. Now, of course, that means careful reading, so I want you to notice the sentences as we read through. Verse 14, then, of Matthew 8. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now let's look at what Mark says. He gets to it earlier in his story, and so we look at chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel. Mark 1 and verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Finally, let's turn to Luke. Now, he gives us an especially interesting account, because he's the doctor of the New Testament, under, of course, the great physician, the Lord Jesus, and Luke has his own touch, too. Luke 4, then, and verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue, and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her, and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose, and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Now may God bless to us these particular records concerning this home there in Galilee. Now, as I look at this story, I see four distinct movements of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important to understand that our Lord Jesus Christ is a person on the move. You might say, but I think the Bible says that he sat down at the right hand of God. All right, that's his official position. We think of Queen Elizabeth II as sitting on the throne of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. But of course, that's her official position. She's moving about just about all the time. There's her active work. And so our Lord Jesus, whilst he has sat down on the right hand of God, waiting till all his foes be made his footstool, nevertheless, he is active with his people. He gathers with them. He comes and brings himself into the midst of those that gather in his name. And so our Lord Jesus is active today. He's alive today. And he comes to people's homes and hearts today. And that's what the first movement in the story is all about. You see, when the story starts, Jesus is on the outside. He's on the outside. And we read in Luke, first of all, these words. And he arose out of the synagogue. That's where he was. He was in the synagogue. Now, Luke says, he arose out of the synagogue. He's on the move. Now, Mark says, they were come out of the synagogue and entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So, we see the movement from the synagogue along the street to the house of Simon Peter, and he enters the house. And then Matthew puts it like this, Jesus was come into Peter's house. And so the story begins with Jesus on the outside. Maybe that's where the story begins with you tonight. Jesus on the outside. He's not in your life, and he's not in your home. And you've never come to acknowledge him as your own personal Lord and Savior. You've never acknowledged your sin, maybe. You've never acknowledged that when Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for you. You've never asked him into your heart and life. And as far as you're concerned, however much you go to church, Jesus is on the outside. Now, you know, some people are afraid of letting Jesus come onto the inside. In fact, they are almost content to just keep him on the outside. They like to keep him, you might say, in the synagogue. Jesus was in the synagogue, but he arose out of the synagogue and entered Simon Peter's house. You know, Jesus won't stay where we want him to stay. Maybe some people would like him just to stay in the Bible, so that when they want to read about him, well, you just go and look at the Bible. Some people would like Jesus to stay in the churches, stay in the gospel hall if you like. And if you want to go and hear about the Lord Jesus, well, you can go along to the gospel hall. If you like, some people would like Jesus, as we read it here, to stay in the synagogue. Keep him in the religious setting. And then we can go and hear him when we want. But he won't stay in the religious setting. He won't stay in stained glass windows where he's nicely depicted in that coloured way. He won't, as it were, just be in a religious kodachrome slide where he is, well, so nice in that position. And you can go and think nice thoughts about him and even hear something of the things he said and then leave him there. You can't do that. Jesus arose out of the synagogue and he entered into Simon Peter's house. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator become man. He has come out to us from his home, and he knocks on the doors of our homes, and indeed of our hearts. And he simply will not stay in the mere religious setting in which so often we like to leave him. He's on the move. He's alive. He demands an answer. He's knocking at your door. He has a claim upon you as Creator. He has a claim upon you as your Redeemer. And what is more, he longs to come from the outside to the inside. We would never have heard of these people if Jesus had not come to their home and to their hearts. After all, who were Peter and James and John and Andrew? Who were these folk? They were just fishermen along the shores of Galilee. There have been thousands and thousands of fisher folk along the shores of Galilee down the centuries. We would never have heard of these people. But I tell you, it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, that gives people relevance and significance and meaning. Your life is worthless apart from the love that God has set upon it. Your life will be without meaning if it is divorced from your Creator and you spurn your Redeemer. You will go your way. And the Lord Jesus says, if you go your way and believe not that I am he says, you will die in your sins. To be without God is to be without meaning. And the Bible says, without hope in this world and the next. And so that's how the story begins. Or, of course, sometimes when someone knocks at our door, it can be, I suppose, a little embarrassing. Someone knocks on your door, perhaps a little embarrassing. Maybe you weren't expecting those people. You look through the crack of the curtain. Oh, it's Mr. So-and-so. I never expected him today. And you can be embarrassed. And maybe you want to just get everything straight before you open the door. Maybe you've been caught out in some way like that before now. Now, when the Lord Jesus comes, some people treat him just like that, as an unwelcome visitor. As if he was going to come. As if he were a thief and a robber. But the Lord Jesus says, all that came before me were thieves and robbers. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. He comes and he wants to be your friend. And he wants to be your savior. And he wants to be your Lord. And he's knocking at the door. Well, that's how the story begins. He will not stay in the synagogue. He arose out of the synagogue and he came into Simon Peter's house. And that brings us, of course, to the second movement of the story. Jesus on the inside. Now, when we look at this, we have to again come to the scripture. Now, Matthew says about this that when Jesus came on the inside, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. That's what Matthew says. Mark says that Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. These two go beautifully together, don't they? On the one hand, he saw her. On the other hand, they told him about her. Maybe that fits your story here tonight, too. The Lord Jesus is coming to your heart, and he is wanting to cross the threshold. And he sees just what your need really is. He sees the crisis in your heart and perhaps too shall we say, the crisis in your home, in your family. As he comes in from the outside, he's not looking at the carpets or the pictures or the furniture or the books. He's not looking at the adornment of the home. He's looking at the people in the home. He's not so much concerned about the place, but the people in the family. And he looks beyond the outward appearance. He looks on the heart, for he is God himself. And he sees the need. And here was someone sick of a fever. There was a crisis in the home. And that crisis was due to a fever. But though he personally saw the need, there were those that told him about the need. And so as the Lord Jesus brings you here tonight and begins to look into your heart and life, as he does this, nevertheless, there may be those who've been praying for you, those who have told him about you, have been interceding on your behalf. Maybe your father and mother have been praying for you, a child, a young person. Maybe there are young people who've been praying for father and mother that they might be saved from the fever of sin. But we have to look at Luke's record as well. Do you know what Luke said? I wonder if you remember it. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. Oh, this is the word of the doctor, the beloved physician Luke. He knew what it was. He had seen people take fever. He had seen that thing which seemed so light, so small, just as it were a slight temperature, as we would put it today. And you might think, well, I'll be better tomorrow morning. But he has seen it take hold until it's evident that the thing is a killer. Oh, how people have besought Luke down the years of his work and medical care. How they must have brought in that sin-stricken and sad country where illness and disease was so rife. How they must have come to Luke and said, won't you do something? And oh, he puts it so powerfully. They besought him for her. It was a crisis. It was a great fever, says Luke. This wasn't something that could just be, as it were, passed off until tomorrow morning. This had gripped this woman, and the crisis was on. It was a sickness unto death. That's precisely what the fever of sin is. It is a sickness unto death. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And more than that, the second death. Oh, how restless we are with a fever. How restless we are with sin. How weary we get with a fever. How wearied we get in sin. Yes, how we toss to and fro. How uneasy we are with a fever. How uneasy in conscience we are with sin. And so the symptoms of a fever depict the very symptoms of sin. How thirsty we are with a fever. How thirsty we are when we are gripped with lust and sin. And so it was a great fever. How hot we are when we are fevered. And how hot we get in our sin. Hot tempered, hot passion. Hot-headed, heated men and women. So we think of the weakness that the fever brings. How impotent we are when it comes to the question of sin. It was a great fever. Luke said, it took her. It took her. And that's what happens as sin is left unattended and undealt with. And if we will not have that great physician above all physicians, and we still keep him on the outside and won't have him on the inside, sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And after death, says the Scripture, there is the judgment. Oh, to have Jesus on the inside. We need him more
than we know.
But now we come to the third movement of the story, and lo and behold, here we have Jesus at the bedside. Jesus at the bedside. Now sometimes, when you have young children, and there's something wrong with them, you get the doctor. And especially if they're very young and they don't understand who doctors really are, and then the doctor says, open your mouth, and of course they shut it tight. And then it's an awful job. The doctor comes near, and oh no, they won't have the doctor near them. And there's quite a scene, and you wonder whatever you're going to do. You say, well, they're just a child, that's how children are. But that's how adults are too. Especially when it's the question of the great physician coming to touch us where we feel it most, to point to our real need and the true nature of our crisis, and the physician on the outside comes on the inside, and then he proceeds to the bedside, and he's going to deal with us on the question of our sin. Oh, we're like little children. Don't come near me. Oh no, we wonder whatever's going to happen. We would hold him at arm's length, and most of humanity today are holding God at arm's length. They won't have him. They won't have him. Our Lord Jesus came unto his own. His own received him not. He came into the world to save sinners. And how many really came to him? He searched out the lost, but how many really returned home? We will not have this man to reign over us. And so the attitude of many a human being is this. Hold him at arm's length. You're not coming near me. They still want to keep him in the synagogue, but he won't stay there. And tonight, through his word, he confronts you with his claim. You need him. He has a right to enter. Jesus on the outside to come on the inside. Yes, right to your bedside. And deal with you as you are. And so we find that in this particular episode, Luke puts it like this. He stood over her and rebuked the fever and it left her. I love those words. He stood over her. This is the real attitude of a physician. In his sympathy, Luke teaches the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man, and he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows, he loves, he cares, he understands. He stood over her. And so that's what the Lord Jesus does. In his love, he comes right to you. He stands over you. How he loves you. How he longs to heal you and to save you. And then we come to Matthew. And of course, Matthew's the one who speaks of the Lord Jesus as the King. The word of a king is with power. His touch has still its ancient power. No word from him can fruit this fall. And Matthew puts it like this. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Oh, what authority. Some people have authority, but they haven't got power. Some people try to exert power, but they haven't got authority. And all authority and all power is in the hands of the Lord Jesus. He has the right to handle you, the right to claim you, but he also has the power to save you. All then to yield to him, dear Mark. He has his version too. He puts it like this. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Here we see Christ in service. Not only authority as a king, but notice his ability as a servant. He goes to it. He puts forth his hand. He is active in the work. He lifts her up. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. One of the old hymns go. And I'm sure this dear woman could have sung that. Love lifted me. Jesus at the bedside. But how lovely the result. Immediately we read, the fever left her. Luke marvels at this. Immediately. Why, he knew these long, long cures, and then you couldn't be sure if there would be a recurrence. But here, there is immediate result. The power flows. Salvation comes to this house. And immediately, the fever left her. One touch of the Master's hand, and you become not a better person, but a new creation. It's not that he gives you a new start, he'll give you a new heart. It's not that he announces a new charter, he makes you a new creature. It's not that you turn over a new leaf, he gives you a new life. Jesus at the bedside. How near have you allowed the Lord Jesus to come to you? But now, of course, the story has reached its climax. Here the healing and blessing and salvation of God has been manifested. Christ is matched for the fever, and Christ has blessed. And now the news goes out from that home and down the street and through the alleyways. And across the road, as the sun goes down that Sabbath day, gradually the people begin to come. And we have a remarkable scene at the end of the story. Why? Mark puts it like this. All the city was gathered at the door. Mark speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant. And he sees the immensity of the task. He says, to all that were diseased and they that were possessed with devils, they came, and all the city was gathered at the door. Who could possibly cope with that? Ah, but Jehovah's servant, the Lord Jesus, he was able to do it, and he did. And Mark writes his story with wonder. But then, dear Luke, maintaining the physician's point of view, I love the way he puts it. He says of this incident, as all the people gather at the door, he says of the Lord Jesus, he laid his hands on every one of them. No mess cures. You see, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is a personal matter. No mass conversion, no mass salvation. The Lord Jesus, when he comes to the individual, why, and there are many individuals at the door now in the story, but he lays his hands on every one of them. Can you say, the Lord has laid his hand on me? Can you? That would be a wonderful thing tonight, to go out of that door saying, you know, tonight the Lord Jesus laid his hand on me and he saved me. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, that's how Luke puts it. But then there's dear Matthew. Well, of course, again, he is the one who speaks of the divine authority of our Savior. And he links up what is happening at the door of that humble home with the mighty sweep of the purposes of God. And he sees in it the fulfillment of prophecy. And he quotes Isaiah. This is truly the messianic work. This is what Christ came to do. To bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Yes, to heal and to succor and to save. Beautiful words quoted from Isaiah. Surely he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And so what we find is that at the close of the story, they're all on the Lord's side. Dear Peter and his wife and his wife's mother and James and John and Andrew too. Yes, they're all on the Lord's side. And it's Christ that's done it all. It's the Lord Jesus who has brought the blessing, because he was on the outside, but he came in on the inside and he came right to the bedside. He dealt with the crisis. He rebuked the fever. It left her. And now she can rise and minister unto him and minister unto them. Yes, it's a wonderful transformation. Out of weakness made strong. Out of death given life. Out of hopelessness born to a living hope in the Lord Jesus himself. They're all on the Lord's side. And everybody around knows that Jesus has triumphed and that he has come to that house and home. Where does the Lord Jesus stand in relation to you? And where do you stand in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ? When he came here, some received him to their heart and home. Others would have nothing to do with him. What will you do with Jesus, who is called Christ? That is the question. To as many as receive him, says the Bible, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God. That is to say, to have a right to be with him in heaven, in his Father's house, and to call his Father their Father, even to as many as believe on his name. Oh, what meaning that gives to the wonderful scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Will you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior who died for you and lives to save you? We ask it for his dear name's sake. Amen.